Hello, this is Dudley Hall. This is to the instructor, the teacher of this group. So let me just talk to you about what I believe to be the important points that need to be dealt with in this study. I believe it's essential that every local group create a community of men that is able to call their sons into manhood. I have done many of these rites of passages around the country. Some churches have picked up on it and created the community, and those are being successful, I think, in raising up young men. Others basically just kind of adopted the rites of passage and thought it was fun. But it doesn't have much meaning if all it is a rite and it becomes ritual instead of reality. So I would say one of the most important things is to find a way of imparting the values of father-son relationship and the transfer of responsibility and authority from one generation to another. Get that value so impregnated and implanted into the community that men began to take this up as a passion and as a burden, so that it's not something that a staff of the church tries to promote, or it's just another event in the life of the church. So my encouragement would be to focus as much as possible on the centrality of the reason this is so important. A second thing I would say is we need to really clearly define the nature of a community that could call these boys into manhood. What does that community look like? For many churches and many groups, this is going to require some reassessment, some reevaluation. I was so blessed as I went to New Zealand. They wanted me to come and talk to them about this rite of passage. When I had spoken to the men, they all agreed that before they could call their boys into manhood, they themselves need to make some commitments to each other. We spent one whole day discussing the three points of integrity, responsibility, and accountability. Some of the men had questions about accountability. They had been in some groups where that was heavy-handed, and they weren't sure they wanted to be. Some were afraid that they were going to be required to tell every shady detail of their life and that kind of thing. But it was wonderful discussion among the men who finally, at the end of the day, said, we want to make such a commitment to ourselves that we're a bunch of men that God could trust some young men into their hands. And so we had a wonderful night of a rite of passage from men. The boys weren't there, just the men committing themselves to each other to walk with these three marks of integrity, responsibility, and accountability. So I would encourage you to spend some time talking about what does that community look like? What can we do to create amongst the men this need and this kind of atmosphere where boys know that their father and their uncles, spiritual uncles and brothers, are looking out after them and are really going to call them up to a higher step. I think another point I want to encourage you to deal with is the necessity of father-son bonding. If either the father or the son is going to be successful, there's so many unfulfilled, dissatisfied fathers and disillusioned, confused young men. And if they could ever begin to see that part of their disillusionment and confusion, dissatisfaction, is because of a failure to bond, a failure to appreciate each other's role, a failure on the son's part to honor his father, and a failure on the father's part to build his son and release his son and to get his joy in seeing his son succeed. This must be an important part of life, because there are so many lies out there, so many lies in the heads of men and boys that, well, he doesn't understand me, and he doesn't like me, and whatever. And so these things have to be worked through. The communicational issues have to be confronted. And most of the time it needs to be confronted by the father, the wiser one, the mature one, who needs to simply come and say, hey, I've messed up, I've blown it, but I love you, and I appreciate you. There's never been a boy who didn't want to hear his earthly father say, I'm proud of you. I love you unconditionally. Nothing you can do make me stop loving you. Everybody wants to hear that. So a father doesn't need to be afraid of that. We need to encourage the father-son bonding. Then I think it's important that we focus on giving a clear and simple definition of healthy masculinity. We read so many books, we hear tapes, there's so much discussion about it. But what is healthy masculinity? I can recommend some books for you. I think Gordon Dalby has written several books, Healing the Masculine Soul, and he has one on the father. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at it right now. I can't tell you what the name of it is. But then Raising a Modern Day Knight is a great book. Robert Lewis, I believe, wrote that. And there's some other good books that will help you. But my encouragement to you is find a clear definition that you can live with and promote that. That's why I've tried to be simple and clear, reduce it down to three concepts. If we get it too complicated, none of us ever know if we make it. And so I like to make it simple. And so we can say, let's aim at this mark of integrity, responsibility, and accountability, knowing that we'll always be refining it and redefining it, but at least we have some concepts to put with it. And I really want to encourage you to work through these concepts. And then I would say there needs to be some energy given in creating an excitement in men and boys to sustain healthy relationships. And there needs to be some implementation, some ways of doing that, some creative ways, not just having a one-time-a-year event, but taking them fishing or playing golf or an outing or camping together, something where there is joint responsibility and joint rewards for the effort. And I really encourage there to be some meetings amongst the fathers who say, let's get together, let's do some of these things and share the responsibilities with the boys. I think there should be a whole year thought through and planned where their father-son activities, where they can, and all of them should not be around athletics, by the way, because there's some sons that are not very athletic. There's some things that can appeal to other aspects of our personality and our masculinity. And please, let's do get away from defining masculinity in terms of how far we can hit a ball or throw it or how well we can catch it. Masculinity is a whole lot more than that. We have a lot of wonderful, sensitive men there who have great artistic abilities who could care less about how far to hit a ball. They should not be shunned. They should not be ignored. And they should not be considered less masculine. Masculinity is integrity, responsibility, accountability. It has very little to do with your athletic ability. And then I will really want to encourage you to implement a rite of passage for your men that would adequately symbolize the values of your heart and of your community. I'm going to simply tell you how we do one. And you can copy it detail for detail if you'd like, or create your own. But we've been doing it now for years in one form or another, and so we've tried to add some symbol into it that would be meaningful to you. Most of our father-son weekends start on a Thursday night. We spend the first few hours in get-to-know-you stuff, silly-type stuff. The sillier, the better, because it puts everybody on the same level. When fathers get out there and act as silly as the boys playing these name games where you're having to remember each other's names and stuff like that, it gets all the totem poles down, you know, it gets all the hierarchy down. And so we all get to know each other and everybody gets to know a name. And so we're playing silly games that require nothing more than some memory and so forth. And then we spend the first night, we have the meal together, and we spend the first night in a session that is mostly vision casting. Why, father, son? Why is the need? And some of the teachings that are in this set would be helpful to you then. Then on Friday, on the day, we spend a lot of time playing games together. Again, games that do not require great athletic skill. We play Alaskan football, or I can't think of some of these crazy things we do, but playing games where it puts everybody on the field, everybody apart, and everybody gets to make a fool of themselves and so forth. And we, by the way, we really do encourage the fathers to participate all the way. Everything that we do, everybody does. Staff does it, fathers do it, unless there is some physical liability. Then we try to do some things that create some trust building. We'll either use a ropes course or some kind of adventure training. If we're in a facility that allows it, we'll do some rappelling that allows the father to be holding the son, to belay the son, and the son to be holding the father as he comes down. We talk about that, evaluate it, discuss the whole thing, discuss the feelings, the fear. And after each session, and we'll talk about one session, and on that day we'll talk about sexuality. And after that session, we design some questions for the father and son to go out and talk about. The fears that they faced, and some of the temptations, and what it's all about. We also have a session on dating, and destiny, and finding your vocation. And again, we break them out after the session to go and discuss that. Now, you know, I can send you our schedule, but I think you'd be better to make your own schedule. The point is, every moment in the day is planned, and every moment in the day we're doing something. Either the father and the son together, the two of them, or all of us together doing something. There's not much time to goof around and to isolate oneself and to drift away from the crowd. Everything is kept peppy with passion and fun and joy, and we spend a lot of time laughing with each other at each other. And that's good. because, again, it breaks down all the artificial walls. We conclude the session together after we've talked about many of these subjects that we're talking about here in this study, and we have testimonies between fathers and sons. One of the things that's fun to do at night is to sit around the fire, if that's allowed, and let the fathers tell stories. One of the stories we like for the father to tell is, what's the first thought he had when he held that boy in his arms the first time? The first time his eyes looked at his son, what did he think? Sometimes we get fathers to tell their prayers, their ambitions for their son. Sometimes the sons want to testify and tell some of the conflicts they've had. Often, we have a father and son tell their story of how they had been in conflict with each other and how they've been reconciled. On one occasion, we had a father who was 101 and his son was 72, and they shared some of their story, how for years they were separated and then came back together, and now the 72-year-old son is looking after his 101-year-old father. By the way, people ask me, what's the age limit on father-son rites of passage? And I said, well, so far, 101 and 72, father and son. I would say that boys usually younger than 14 are not quite ready to grasp some of these concepts, but really it's up to the father once he knows what it's all about. So at night, we like to sit around the fire and tell stories. Sometimes we just like to tell stories. They may not have a lot of meaning, but they're giving history, and they're binding the previous generation to the coming generation. And if you have good storytellers who can tell stories of maybe hunting or camping or crazy things that have happened to them and getting lost or getting fired or whatever, and just telling stories, you'll have to have a little leadership here, not to let it get out of hand. Somebody will get into an hour and a half story and ruin your session. So I'd give them all 5 minutes and tell stories. After the first night, it gets easier. And if you find some good storytellers, focus on them. And that's good for bonding. It's good for fathers and sons to hear all of that kind of stuff. And then on the final night, we start the rite of passage. The rite of passage is when the son goes to his father and asks him to lead him to the place of wisdom. The father blindfolds the son and leads him without touching him, leads him with his voice and with his presence to a prescribed place where the elders are waiting. The elders, in our case, would be me and whoever's with me, who would be the leaders of the retreat. When the son gets there, and you see the symbolism there of you follow your earthly father to the place where you can be introduced to your heavenly father and until you can get real wisdom. And so we ask the fathers to be creative, lead them around some trees and, maybe around a stream or something, so that the son has to really be paying attention to the father to get there. So they finally get to the place of wisdom, where there is sitting in the chairs by the torches, the elders. The father comes and says, I'd like to present as a candidate my son, the candidate for manhood. There, the elder, I'll just say it's me in this case because I'm one of them, I will question the young man as to his understanding of masculinity. What are his goals in life? What does he know about integrity, responsibility, and accountability? What does that mean to him? What does he intend to do? How will his life be different from this night on? How does he intend to walk in relationship with his father? What will be relationship with these men here? And so it's not a testing time, it is a communication time. If he doesn't understand the concepts, it's a time to help him understand them. But it's also a time of evaluation. Is the boy here because his daddy made him come? Is he here because he really does want to be a part of a community of men? And if he does, then the father has brought with him a necklace that we've prepared. We use just a little leather string with three beads with IRA on them. And the father takes that necklace from the elder and keeps it for a while. Once all the boys are through the place of wisdom, we have a line of torches and we place all the men on one end of the torches and all the young men on the other end. Each father stands up at the line of torches. The torches, we have about 20 torches, 10 on each side. The lane is about 30 yards long. And the community of men on one end and the community of boys on the other. The individual father will step up to the line and call his son by name. John David Hall, I welcome you into the community of men. Come and walk with me and these men in integrity, responsibility, and accountability. The boy begins his walk down to the line of torches. We've placed between the torches some wise men, some of the older men of the community. If they have a word of prophecy, they step out and speak it. If they have a prayer, they pray it. Otherwise, they just bless the boy as he walks slowly from boyhood to manhood. When he gets to the end of the torches, the father embraces the son, kisses him on both cheeks, places the necklace over his head, turns him around to the men and says, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, by the way, while the boy's walking down the line of torches, all the men are cheering him on, and they're welcoming him. They may be singing, shouting, whistling, but they're welcoming him into that community. And the boy then joins a community of men as they wait for the next father to stand up and invite his son to come in, and he follows the same procedure. Once all the boys have walked through the line of torches, then we all gather around the fire, and we hold hands, and we begin to sing songs together. We usually take one of the torches and pass it all around the circle from one man to the other, signifying that we're now one complete community. And we spend time again around the fire telling stories and telling what's happened to us during that day. We conclude the rites of passage with all the fathers and sons, this new community, having communion together and being blessed by the elders. Now, that's our model, and you're welcome to use it. It may not be the model you choose to use, but I encourage you to develop one that would accurately and adequately symbolize the values that you want to have in your community. It will be a meaningful time for your fathers and your sons. Several asides here. One is that you will have many men who will come to you and say, "Could I go through? I never had a man to call me into, or men to call me into manhood. I'm 40 years old. Could I come through?" And I would say that's perfectly legitimate if he is willing to live in accountability with the men. I believe all men want to be called into manhood. And so if he has a spiritual father there, a pastor, an elder, someone, and he's willing to commit to live in this kind of commitment with each other, covenant with each other, then sure, sometimes it can be very meaningful for some of the older guys to then come through. Some may ask the question, what if a boy gets to that point, he's been there the whole weekend and he decides he didn't want to come through? That's perfectly legitimate. He finally has made a good decision. Our invitation, as always, will just stand over here and watch. You can be a part of a congregation, but you won't be going through as a man. And maybe, as you see it happen and you see the value of it, maybe it will help you to understand, and maybe next year or maybe the next time you would like to do it. So we do not try to make them feel ashamed. We try to encourage them and applaud them for making the decision for whatever reason. One of the things you will have to be careful of is that they're not reticent to do it because they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Those three marks are marks that we have chosen to head toward with all of our might. But if a boy is not ready to do that or not willing to do that, he should not be forced to go through a rite or a ritual that does not fit his heart. So applaud his decision not to do it. So this is what we're trying to accomplish in this series of studies. And that is to create a community of men that can call their young men into manhood, and to create a rite of passage that would initiate that and would set the tone for this community operating. So as you are able to help fathers and sons walk through this material together, I would encourage you to do it with integrity, responsibility, and accountability.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.